Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. To Edinburgh, Scotland, to Simon Constable, writing at Barron's and the Wall Street Journal and other distinguished publications, Europe is under extreme, extreme worry because of the energy shortfall now and projected not only for the winter, but for two or three winters, for years out. The planning does not yet exist, but working very hard now to say what is to be done. And we begin with what would have been regarded as a heresy last year at the meeting of the world's powers to talk about greenhouse gases and the climate change. You recall that Simon attended the gathering at Glasgow looking for a utopian world of renewables to take over the work of fossil fuel-based electricity generating. Well, that is going to be delayed by the crisis in Europe over Ukraine. And right now, continuing threats from Russia to cut off all natural gas into Europe through the Nord Stream 1 line. Whether it's a threat or whether it's a game is hard to tell, but you must plan for the future. And I go to three items that Simon has written about over the last year that I've followed very carefully since his recommendation in Barron's. The first will be Glencore, an extractive industry. That means it's a mining industry that is based in Switzerland and has a very large footprint in coal. The second is Occidental Petroleum, which is, as Simon introduced it to me, an unhedged pure oil play, now very attractive to investors such as Warren Buffett. And the third is the United States 12-month natural gas fund. All three are showing strength. And the question is how long, given the ambition of renewables in Europe, especially in the United Kingdom, as recently as the Glasgow meeting of November. Simon, this is not just about picking the right horse in the Wall Street. This is about the near future. What is the expectation at Glencore as to how long the new interest in coal can be sustained? Good evening to you, Simon.
Good evening to you. Basically, there's a huge gap in Europe in terms of what can produce electricity. So they typically relied in Germany, which is the biggest economy, on natural gas. The nuclear plants were largely decommissioned. They're sort of holding off on a last few. I think there's three left there. But there's still a huge hole where natural gas was. So they're bringing in coal, which they can get, and Glencore's selling a lot of coal. And until that sort of renewable area increases dramatically, coal will be used, right? So there will be continued demand for coal until we get more renewables going or we get more nuclear going. That could take a while. It's hard to know how fast that will go. And it also is quite dependent on the war in Ukraine. If the war in Ukraine continues indefinitely, then it's going to take many years. If the war in Ukraine stops, I think people will be reluctant to work with Russia, and it could be, but it could still be a little bit faster. I would also point out there's something else with Glencore, which is very interesting, is that they, although they've got this old fossil fuel coal, which is quite dirty stuff, they've also got massive exposure to a lot of minerals that are required for the energy transition. And that thing, things like cobalt and nickel and copper. And those are very important. So when the coal demand subsides, it's probably because we're going to be seeing more demand for those other commodities. So Glencore is quite well placed. It's kind of an interesting thing. It's a mining company. They dig holes in the ground and they extract stuff from various places in the world. And that is what is going to make the world have clean energy. It's really, really fascinating to me.
And Occidental Petroleum. Last November, you wrote about Occidental for Barron's. It was a contrary column because we were under the shadow of the states, the sovereign states meeting in Glasgow talking about renewables. And Occidental is an unhedged oil play. Now we discover that Warren Buffett and the Berkshire billions and billions and billions are looking at Occidental for the future. In fact, I believe that Mr. Buffett is asked to buy up to 50% of the stock, although he says that he's not taking it over. Occidental is oil, right, Simon? That's all it is. It doesn't pretend to be anything else. Oil.
It is a classic oil producer, and it's a very well run company. They don't hedge. You are buying it for exposure to oil, and there are a few things that are underpinning probably a very long term good performance by them. Is one is that the margins are very good, so that means they're making a lot of profit for every barrel they pump. It doesn't cost them anywhere near what they get for a barrel, even though prices are back down now around 100 for Brent, down from over 120 a few weeks ago. So that's very good. There's also very limited investment in fossil fuel in terms of like getting new drilling going. And that means the supplies will be limited. And partly that's the banks won't really want to lend to anyone who wants to set up a new drill rig for oil because they see it as going out of fashion in 10 years. It will all be gone. But 10 years of owning this, there could be some phenomenal dividends and phenomenal returns of those companies that continue pumping because prices likely won't go down. And that's because no one's investing in it because they're too scared to do so. So I think, Warren Buffett getting into anything is a good sign for a long-term play, but also all these other factors really support that could be very good. And I should point out to you that energy stocks are the only real area where you can actually hedge against inflation. You're basically combating the inflation that's withering your wealth elsewhere. And that's a really good thing for most people these days.
And finally, natural gas. This is the United States 12-month natural gas fund. I read from the description, UNL, that's the symbol, holds the 12 nearest month NYMEX natural gas future contracts in equal weights. The listed name for UNL is United States 12-month natural gas fund. Natural gas is everybody's choice of somewhere between oil and coal and the future, whether sustainable or nuclear. And natural gas is much in demand. That's what Russia represents. England doesn't, UK doesn't have enough of it. Are they going to restart natural gas exploration in the North Sea? Have they made a decision?
I think they're going to start that, but it's not going to be enough. And there's also Germany and France and everywhere across Europe that needs natural gas as well. So what's going to happen? And that U.S. natural gas fund that you mentioned, that's going to benefit from the fact that Americans, entrepreneurial Americans, and Americans really are as a whole very entrepreneurial, they're going to liquefy that natural gas from America and send it across the Atlantic. And there it's going to be gasified again. So it becomes gas and sold at a reasonable profit, hopefully just a reasonable one, not an excessive one, because we won't be able to afford it otherwise, but to Europeans. And so that'll help keep those prices in the U.S. elevated for a while. So anyone who's investing in natural gas futures over the next couple of years, I think, will do very well. I mean, it could be wrong. And in many ways, I hope I'm wrong. And I think we all hope we're wrong when it comes to fossil fuels, because the world will be a much better place. But realistically, I think it's going to be a good run for anyone who's invested in that.
That's the future. Simon has at Financial Times an exploration of the past. Sarbox, it's called, Sarbanes-Oxley. Simon, what I take from your essay is that Sarbanes is responsible for making Peter Thiel a billionaire because he was able to invest in Meta where the rest of us were not early. Is that correct?
Yes. So the Sarbanes-Oxley rules basically left a lot of companies staying private for a lot longer than they would have done in the past. So if you look back to the 90s, Yahoo went public at something like $3 billion, and Netscape went at $2.9 billion. Yahoo went public at less than a billion, and Netscape at 2.9 billion. So when you get to, you know, Meta, it went public at about 100 billion. And that was because the burden of going public was so great under the Sarbanes-Oxley laws that they would have to be big in order to, you know, employ all the lawyers to get with the paperwork that is associated. So let me give you an idea of how ridiculously good the returns were while it was private. If you had invested $1,000 in Meta, which was then Facebook, in 2004, and it's similar to what Peter Thiel did with 500,000. But if you just put in $1,000, you would have $2 million by 2012. That's less than a decade, and you'd have made enough money for a lot of people to retire on. And that was with just $1,000. Right, that's
30,
crazy.
We have 30 seconds for you to make everybody feel bad. Is Sarbanes going to go away, or is it with us forever? 30 seconds, Simon.
I think it's with us forever. It's not going to go away, and it's not going to stop fraud. We still have fraud out there in securities. They just happen to be private securities. Unfortunately, this will never go away. No one will have the guts to do it. I'm really sorry. I hope I'm wrong.
Simon Constable in Edinburgh, writing for Barron's and other distinguished publications. I'm John Batchelor.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.